Welcome on this Sunday morning. Will you stand to your feet? We're going to start with some songs of praise and some time of worship. Worship God on your way in. If you're our guest, thank you for worshiping with us today. We won't make you wear a sign that says I'm new here, but we do have a welcome center and a welcome team, and we would love to answer your questions because it's important to us that you feel at home while you're with us. We're going to continue on in this next song. We taught it last week. We learned it together last week. So if you don't know it, don't worry. It's new to all of us, but it plays right off of what we just said, and that our victories are in Him. And one of the things we talked about last week is we are all fighting a battle. And if you're not fighting one now, then you just came through one or there's one around the corner. Amen? That's what this side of heaven looks like for us. And so we have a mighty warrior that we can call upon. And that's what's important, is that no matter what your battle looks like, what we have in common is who goes into battle with us. All right? Who stands beside us? Who goes before us? Who comes behind us? We can declare our victory in Him. Thank you.
your freedom, our chains are gone. And no weapon formed shall prevail. Your word is stronger, we overcome.
Your kids, they're going to be straight down the hall and to the left of the coffee area. It's room 131. They get to have their own time of worship.
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin. When death was arrested. was given a name. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life began.
Oh, your grace,
oh, your grace, so free, washes over.
Amazed. Lord, we're just humbled in awe of who you are. God, I just pray your spirit would fill this place. Would you open our hearts to hear the words that you've given Pastor Brian, the truth that you need us to know?
I stand amazed in Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean.
Seated.
What's up, Westview? This is your student ministries director, Fred, coming at you with this week's announcements. First off, if you're entering sixth grade this fall, then bring you and your parents and come to the basement tonight at 7:30 to meet the rest of my student ministry staff and volunteers. This Wednesday, dinner and movie night for all the ladies 13 and up will be held here at Westview. Bring your finger food to share and join us at 6 p.m. Then, on Friday, July 27th, men of all ages are getting together here at Westview for a campout. All you need is your tents, sleeping bag, and bug spray, and leave your electronics at home. Friday's dinner, a snack, and breakfast on Saturday are all provided. This is a great opportunity for fellowship, and if you're fairly new to Westview, come meet some of the other guys. There is a link to sign up included in this week's email newsletter, or you can put the word campout on your Connect card. The next Women's Encounter of the Cross weekend is August 3rd through the 5th, and it will launch from right here at Westview. Ladies, if you're ready to encounter God in a new and powerful way, you can find an online registration link in Thursday's email newsletter. Speaking of our newsletter, last week we made a very important announcement. But in case you weren't here or missed the newsletter, we want everyone to help welcome the Matheny family to Westview. Art Matheny has been hired as their new Connections and Discipleship pastor, and his wife, Jenny, will be serving as faculty at Manhattan Christian College. We look forward to having them join us the first Sunday in August, and you can read more about their family in the newsletter. Yes, we want you to feel welcome here at Westview, and we're glad to have you with us today. You should have been handed a worship guide on your way into the sanctuary this morning that covers important upcoming events, and there's a Connect card that we ask you to fill out. At the end of the service, you can drop off your Connect card in the lobby at the Welcome Center, and we have a small gift there to thank you for joining us this morning. Now, pull out your sermon notes section of the worship guide, and let's follow along as Pastor Brian delivers the final message in our sermon series in the Book of James.
Well, I was hoping you could run up late for us.
We are in a really big hurry.
Sure. What's the plate? Number.
29THD03.
Two. 9.
THD03.
T.
HD03.
H.
D03.
D.
Mm-hmm. 03.
Hey, Flash, want to hear a joke?
No!
Sure.
What do you call a three-humped camel?
I don't know. What do you call a
three-humped camel?
Three-humped camel.
Pregnant.
Very funny, very funny. Can we please just focus on the text?
Hey.
Wait.
Priscilla.
Oh, no!
Yes? Flash?
What do
no.
you call
a three-humped camel pregnant? Okay, great, we got it. Please,
humped.
Hey, good morning, Westview. We'd like to see all your bright, smiling faces this morning. To our guests who are here, thank you for choosing to hang out with us. God's church is a big church, amen? And so it's glad to have you with us today. We hope you just relax and jump in here with us. The movie Zootopia, who's all seen Zootopia? It's a hilarious movie, but how many of you were actually leaning in on that conversation, like, come on? It's like, that scene kind of gets at all of us because we are in a culture of impatience, aren't we? We have a culture that has struggles a lot with patience, and that's what we want to talk about today. We live in an age of impatience. We're conditioned to have it our way now. This is how we're conditioned in this, in our nation, in our communities. You know, I think it all started about maybe 5-6 decades ago with fast food. And then we got instant coffee, and then look what happened after that. Next thing you know, we've got self-checkout lines in stores. We buy the 1,000-watt microwave because it pops the popcorn 30 seconds faster than the 750 one did. We binge-watch now. I remember waiting for Happy Days to show the next episode next Tuesday. Now we watch Happy Days in one setting. We binge-watch all the way through the series. We don't even have conversations. We text, tweet, and we Instagram. And then how many of you sped here today? You're lying. Several of you did. And you know what? And you sit in the back row of the church so you can leave early, don't you? I'm just kidding. I'm giving all the people in the back row a hard time. You know, we don't even complete our sentence. And we've had it up to here with impatient people. How are you getting tired of impatient people? I'm really getting tired of impatient people. And so today we're going to talk about patience. And we're going to start with we're finishing a sermon series in the book of James. And so James is only 5 chapters long. So I want you to turn with me to the book of James and go to chapter 5. And so this finishes up our sermon series called Man in the Mirror. And while you're turning there, James is way towards the back of your Bible. It's about the 5th book from the end. And remember, just while you're turning here, a couple things about the whole book of James. There's one central theme is that our faith requires action. Faith without action, James reminds us, is dead. And so if I recap real quick, chapter 1, we looked in the mirror, and we talked about the mirror as God's word. And when we look in the mirror long enough and look at God's word long enough, we see God more clearly, because that's how he reveals himself. But not only do we see God more clearly, we see ourselves more clearly. And our action that week was to get into the word, so we can see God more clearly, see ourselves. Week 2, Fred talked about who do you see around you in the mirror? And our call is to take the gospel outside of our comfort zone, across cultural lines. And Fred gave that challenge, across cultural lines, socioeconomically, ethnically, to be brave as a church, be bold and cross those lines. Week 3, last week we talked about what does my life look like in the mirror. And we made the comparison of life on the merry-go-round, which just goes round and round and safe, or the real Christian life, which is a roller coaster ride, up and down, exciting, scary, but fulfilling and peace-filled as we head towards the trajectory that. And so this week, we're going to finish the James series with saying, looking in the mirror and saying, how calm do I look? How much patience do I see in that reflection? And so for our guests, if you look right here on the back of these sermon notes, you can follow along with us. It's just kind of an outline of what we're talking about today. And so here's the first sermon note. Stand in front of the mirror long enough and you will see patience. This goes way back to chapter 1 when James said, like a man in the mirror, like God's word, you look really quick and you walk away and you forget who you are. Same way with patience. To see patience through God's word, we have to look in the mirror for a little while. In a narcissistic society, it's always funny saying look in the mirror for a long time. But that's what we're doing here spiritually. In the mirror, we see God's word, which helps us see him more clearly. We mentioned this, see ourselves more clearly. But there we're going to find the answer to having patience. And so we're going to need to spend some time today in the word, in a lot of God's word, and reflecting in the mirror about where we are with our patience and how we can change. Because I think we all have this problem at one time or other. This is an easy one to pick on everybody. There's times where we have limits to our patience. So why is there so much impatience? I think the best way to explain this is to understand that in our Christian walk of faith, there's a tension that exists. And in this tension, we will find our answer to our issues of patience. The tension in our Christian lives is that we live in the already and a world of not yet. The tension in our lives is we live in a world of already, and it's also a world of not yet. And we're in the middle. Already, Jesus has come to earth. Already, he has suffered, died on the cross, died and rose again. Already, God's word has been given to us completely. Already, because of Christ on the cross, we have God's spirit in us. And already, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, the kingdom of heaven is already here. It's just not here fully. That's the world of already. But there's a tension because we live in a world of not yet. Not yet has sin been defeated completely. And because of that, not yet is there relief from all the suffering and pain. Not yet has the world been restored to God's original design. Not yet has Jesus returned to finish his mission. And not yet is the kingdom of heaven fully here. So we have this tension in our Christian walk that we have the already and we're having to wait on the not yet. And in the middle, we get this uncomfortable delay that causes us to be impatient. Sin causes us to not like this delay of wait for the not yet. Sin makes our lives all about the here and now, not what's next. There is an enemy who whispers in all of our ears every day to live in the now and don't focus on the not yet. You know why the enemy does that? Because the enemy knows not yet is where our hope lies. And the enemy knows the not yet is our purpose of how we live. And he doesn't want us living with hope or purpose. He wants us to focus on now. It's much easier to move us to sin and temptation there. What do you think is the most common sign of impatience? Go ahead. Throw something out that you can say in church. Irritation. Good. Frustration. Finishing sentences. Self-centeredness. What was that? Grumbling. Grumbling is the most common sign of impatience. Grumbling. Do you know that every moment, who's already grumbled today? I think I grumbled 3 times before I ever got here. I don't want to talk about how much I grumbled yesterday. We'll get to that story next. But do you know that every moment of grumbling is a moment of grumbling against God? Do you know grumbling has no neutrality? If you think about it, every moment of grumbling is focusing on the here and now, and it has a lack of focus on what's next, the not yet. Think about that. How many times do we grumble about our hope and our future? We tend to grumble about now. So God's word, the Bible, gives us a great look into the importance of having patience. This word is used a lot throughout the Bible. And so I would like you to turn with me to sermon number 2. And we're going to go through a lot of scripture here to talk about the Christian life that is patient. We're going to talk about 4 things that we all need in our Christian life that will help our patience. So look at sermon number 2. The Christian life is patient in waiting, the first one, in waiting for Jesus to return. This is the umbrella statement that covers everything else. This is the main thing we're waiting for, is him to come back. Everything else we're going to talk about happens under that umbrella. And so our key scripture there today is James 5, starting in verse 7 and 8. And so while you're looking at 5, 7, and 8, just kind of a picture here. This is James, an early pastor, the first pastor of the Jerusalem church, stepbrother of Jesus, writing to his church about patience. So read along with me. We'll have it up here also. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. Yes, you too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near." So anytime an author in a book of the Bible writes the same word 3 times in two verses, we pay attention to that. So 3 times he uses the word patient. Now, James is writing to a church, an early Christian church, that is enduring a lot of suffering, a lot of oppression. And if you go to the very next verse, verse 9, the first thing he tells them is, don't grumble. Don't grumble. He knows they're dealing with the here and now, and he's trying to get his church's focus on the not yet of Jesus' return. And what James is going to be telling us about patience is actually all about action. So James reminds us, the Christian life is patient in waiting for Jesus to return. So that's what our focus is what's not yet. Second thing, the scripture tells us about the Christian life is patient in doing good. This is action. So Luke 8:15, the scripture, it says, "And the seeds that fell on the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people, like you guys, who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a good harvest." That's an action. Patient in action. Now, what's interesting is James talked about farming in his, and Luke's talking about farming, because most of their audience was agrarian. Most of them were agriculture, so they understood this. But both of them talked about the farmer. The farmer plants, and then he has to do what? Wait a long time. Now, he may weed, he may water, he may pray a lot. But what happens next is largely out of his control. So he has to wait for what his hopes for. During that time of wait, there is a radical transformation in the life of that little seed. That little seed will grow sprouts that will go down. It will grow shoots that go up, and it will eventually produce fruit or vegetables or a harvest. But there has to be patience while that happens. While that transformation happens, there has to be patience. And what James and Luke are trying to tell us is that we need this type of patience too. We must wait during this time. For God is doing a work in us. He is transforming our hearts during this wait that we tend to be impatient. He is getting our roots down and growing us spiritually, which makes us sprout, which produces incredible fruit in our lives if we're patient. But we always want to hurry the process. So we talked about patience for Jesus to come back, patience in doing good. The third, patience, this one's harder, with people. Patience with people. Ephesians 4, verses 2 through 3, the scripture tells us, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make an allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort, action, make every effort in this patience to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. So we're supposed to be patient with one another. We're supposed to make allowance for others' faults. That's hard to do, isn't it? Like going back to the video, sitting in a DMV, being patient. And in Ephesians, it writes, why do we do that? Why? How do we have the ability to be patient with others? It says, because of your love. You see, the love that you use to overcome your impatience is the same love that God gives you while he's being patient with you and me. And we're in his image. So it's love that drives that. And that love, Ephesians tells us, unites us. What's the opposite? Impatience will divide us. And it brings peace to the whole body. Imagine that in a church. Everybody just having a little bit of high road element and being patient with everybody else. Because who is here without a fault? I'm glad none of you raised your hands. So the video, and I just want to be honest with you, the story yesterday is that, and the reason we showed the Zootopia clip is because I had that experience yesterday. So I was in Wichita, in Derby, actually, last 2 days for a wedding. And so we had the rehearsal Friday night, and of course we changed a number of things in a wedding format. And I still didn't have this sermon done. I hope that's not noticeable. And so I had my plan all for Saturday morning, the day of the wedding. My plan was get up, get a late checkout, and then get over there to the copy center and get on my thumb drive the wedding outline done and printed off for me, and then also get a copy of my draft of my sermon because I wanted 3 to 4 hours to finish this in a coffee shop before the wedding started at 5. So I fly, I Google, and I find the closest copy center. I won't say which one it was, a popular one, and I zip down the street. I get there, and I have my USB drive. I'm going in on time, and the guy in the counter comes up to me, and I hand him the USB, and I said, hey, I need 2 copies of the wedding. I need a copy of my sermon printed off. I need them in color. And just like that sloth, he grabs a USB drive and looks at it like he's never seen one. I'm thinking, oh, no, I'm in trouble. And he goes, you know, just, he was very slow and methodical, bless his heart. He walks over, plugs it into the computer, pulls up. It's in Microsoft Word, right? I thought this was easy. And he's over there typing for a while. The line's starting to form behind me. And then he goes over and turns on the color copier. It takes 5 minutes to warm up. And then finally, he runs over the print, he brings me a copy, and all it's on there are the headings. He's going, well, that's not looking right. And I'm like going, I got to get to the coffee shop to get this done because it's going to be a long trip home Saturday night and everybody's going to be expectant that something is in this sermon. And so he's still really methodical. And he's like, well, I think I can convert that to a PDF. So he goes back to the computer. And I'm sitting there drumming on the counter. I'm trying, not even looking at the people behind me. And he starts converting, and he hits click, and then he goes to help the lady next to me. I'm thinking, I know converters move much quicker than that, but that'd be nice. Yeah, let him help the lady next to me. And so he starts a conversation with her, and I'm like going, I gotta get to the coffee shop. And so eventually he prints it off, brings me the PDF, and it's like in 4 font, and it only fills half the page. And there's no way I can run a wedding from that or read a sermon. I use 14 if you want to see the font. And I'm like, well, this isn't going to work. I was like, hey, this isn't going to work. I said, and I'm there going, oh, my goodness. And he's like, well, I can try, and I can try. And so I'm really close to losing my whole testimony. He knows I'm a pastor because I got a sermon there. And so I'm about ready to uncork, and then it had to be a movement of the Holy Spirit. He says, you cannot lose your testimony here. And I'm like, why? He says, because he's going to ask you what's the sermon about. I'm going to say, it's going to be about Jesus and patience. So I started praying a lot, and I eventually went to another copy store because we never got it right. And so anyway, you'll let me know if the sermon actually reflects that later on. So patience with people. Patience, let's be patient for Christ's return. Let's be patient in doing good. Let's be patient with people. There's another one that's equally as hard. It's the last one. Equally hard for us to be patient about, the Bible tells us, and that is patience in suffering. This one's tough. Because we all go through suffering, or we all go through loved ones who suffer. And so we're going to go right back to James again in chapter 5, just a couple of verses down, where he talks about we have to be patient in suffering. And so James 5, verses 10 through 11, James tells the church this. He says, hey, he says, for examples of patience in suffering, he said, dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We give great honor to those who endure under suffering. For instance, you know about Job, a man of great endurance. You can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end. For the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy. So first thing James is telling us all is that, remember, the Old Testament is a great book of instruction. And great, just spending time in the Old Testament, there's such good information there to go back and look at how God communicates to us, even from the ancient days. But the book of Job is one of the very first stories ever written for the Bible. And the book of Job, in case you don't know, a quick summary, Job was a guy who had everything, and he was good. He was walking right in the Lord. He had all the cattle, all the kids, all the family, all the house. And in a matter of minutes, he lost it all his family except his wife. He lost his house. He lost all his cattle. In the midst of that devastation, all of a sudden he was inflicted with a disease which put painful boils all over his body. And one of the most graphic verses in all the Bible is where he's scraping the boils with a piece of pottery. He's in such misery. And yet we see through 40-some chapters in Job, we see patience as he waits on the Lord. He's hurting. He's yelling out. It doesn't say he sins. He's looking for answers. You know, in the book of Job, God never gives him an answer as to why. But everybody loves the end of Job, because at the end of Job, God restores him. And guys, there's a lot of time. He endured all his bad friends and all their bad wisdom. And he hangs with God, he's patient with God, and he endures through all this. And then God, in the end, restores. He restores his cattle. He gets all the blessings come back. And most people think, well, yeah, I just need to wait, and God throws all his blessings. That is not what the book of Job is about. What the book of Job is about, especially when you see us in chapter 42, is that during that time of patient endurance, God changed Job's heart. That's what was going on in the story. And you can't miss it in chapter 42, that while he was patiently enduring, God was transforming him. He was growing his roots down. He was bringing his shoot up. He was making him stronger. And the best phrase out of chapter 42, and God does not give him an answer as to why, but the best phrase, the best scripture out of Job 42 is where Job exclaims, he says, Lord, I had only heard about you before, but with my patient endurance and what I've done, I now see you, which was a change of his heart. It's so dramatic. God changed his heart. He went from, I only heard about you, My knowledge of you is up here, to now I see you. And then God gave him the blessing. It's how he grew in patience. That was all the difference. So let's look at sermon number 3 together. So where does patience come from? How do we grab a hold of it? What is it? So here's something that'll help us with this. Patience is action guided by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Patience is actually action. So the big idea here today, the one thing we want to walk away and make sure we understand this point, is that patience is not about doing nothing. Passive patience is laziness. Patience is about doing everything you can and waiting on the result. Patience is a word of action. Throughout James, he describes it as a word of action, not passivity. The lie we believe is patience is waiting passively for something good to happen. That's a lie. If we look in James, it's about. James would summarize it this way. He says, waiting is not about what we get in the end. It's about what we become while we wait. So let me throw it at you one more time. And you can quote this the rest of the week. It's a great quote. Patience is not about what we get in the end. It's about what we become while we wait. While God does that work of root, shoot, fruit. So we look at Galatians, the scripture verse there. It reminds us that this comes from the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit inside us is what grows this. In Galatians 5:22-23, the scripture reads, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Patience is a gift from the Holy Spirit. It is the fruit of our lives that are growing out. And it comes from a changed heart. Our patience doesn't come from laziness. It comes from written down, growing up in a life of action. So let's pull this all together in sermon note number 4. And I think this is just absolutely beautiful because there's a scripture that wraps all this up into a neat package and puts a big bow on it that we can't miss this. So sermon note number 4. A Christian's greatest hope and joy waits for something we don't yet have. Our greatest joy, our greatest hope is in waiting for something we don't yet have. You looking for your greatest joy in life? This is it. And it's something you don't get just yet. Well, you kind of get it, but you don't get it completely. So let's go to Romans 8:22-25. Listen how this summarizes everything that we've talked about. The scripture reads, for we know that all creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. Amen? We do. We long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently, patiently and confidently that God's promises, he never fails to fulfill them. We are waiting for Jesus to return. The kingdom of heaven will fully be here. And then we will get release from the sin and suffering. and our bodies will be new. Our spirit will be complete. We are waiting with eager hope, and we are waiting patiently, confidently. We're not waiting for something. We're waiting while he does something to us in the meantime. Amen? And I can't think of a more beautiful way to celebrate this and remember it, but in communion. So ushers, would you come join me for communion, please? Communion here at Westview is what we would call an open table. And that is, if you're a guest with us today and you have a right relationship with Jesus, you know him and you're following him, please join us. The communion table is for all Christ people. Amen? So today you're family. So feel like family while you're here. These gentlemen are going to bring around the elements. We ask that you hold them and we will take them together in a moment. Communion is a time where we remember and celebrate the greatest action of patience ever recorded in history, the death and resurrection of Jesus. As these elements come around, like I said, we're going to take them together in just a moment, but we want to take some time and reflect. And when we're done today, you can just set your cup down at the floor. We'll pick them up afterwards. Don't worry about them. But take this time while the stuff's going around, while the elements are going around, take this time to clear our minds of whatever was going on before we got here. Take our time to clear our hearts, and maybe we need to settle something with God first in forgiveness. Take this moment to reflect as we go to look at the greatest moment of patience in all history together. Clear everything out. Make room for God to work. When it comes to being patient, we have a perfect view of patience in Jesus. Jesus knew that he'd be facing injustice. He knew he'd be facing rejection, even from his closest friends. And yet he was patient. Jesus knew he was facing a cross. He knew he was facing a horrendous death from the day he started his mission. He knew what his mission was. And he was patient for God's perfect timing. Jesus knew that he was going to pay the price for every sin in the world with his life, for every sin that we have. And he was patient. He did it all because he loves us. Jesus is God on earth. And we see a love like we can never fathom, imagine in this expression on the cross. Jesus knew that he would go to the grave for 3 days. He had to be patient. Can you imagine how soon he wanted to rise so we could all be free? But he waited 3 days. He knew he would rise. He knew what was happening in the not yet. And he was patient to be raised to life so that we could be raised to life. Jesus is our hope. He is why we wait. He is how we wait. And the thing about Jesus is that he meets us in that wait. He says, I'll never abandon you. Never. He's with us in the wait. In Luke chapter 22, starting in verse 19, would you hold the bread up? Jesus held the bread up. He took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. He broke it into pieces and he gave it to all his disciples. And he said, this is my body which is given for you. He said, I want you to do this to remember me. And so let's do this together. Let's take this together to remember his patience and the sacrifice he paid for us. Would you hold up the cup? Continuing in Luke, Jesus would have held the cup up just like this. It says, Jesus took a cup of wine and he said, this cup is a new covenant between God and his people. That's us. It's a new covenant that covers all other covenants. This is the grand day, the big one. There never needs to be another covenant. It's symbolized in his blood. That's why we drink juice. He said, this agreement between God and his people, this ability for all of us to be raised to life now, is because of his blood. And sometimes we forget to talk about this in communion, but the covenant is not complete until he comes back. And we're still waiting on that. And he asks us to be patient, because he will come back in perfect time. So let's take this cup together, remembering his blood poured out as a sacrifice for us so that we could have a pathway back to God in heaven. All we have to do is follow him. The last scripture there is Acts 1:11, where Jesus, after 40 days from rising from the dead, was taken up right in front of his friends, his closest disciples. Taken right up into heaven. And these angels appeared saying, why are you guys looking up in the sky? It's time to get action. For the Jesus who you just saw rise will come back the same way one day. That's the not yet. And we all have that to look forward to. Amen? Amen. Ushers, would you come back forward for the offering, please? This time of offering, I would ask that you reflect on a couple of things. One is our patience. Offer to God today what change we all need in our patience. Ask him to keep our hearts focused on the not yet and keep the enemy out of the here and now. And the second thing to pray for is our offering of how we give. How do we give our life to a God who gave us his everything? How this week can we be... How can we give that same extravagant love back? Our time, our gifts, our hands, our work, our money. How do we keep his kingdom moving forward so everybody knows this? That's an offering that we all need to make this week. So let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Father, thank you for the words of James. Thank you that we see a church struggling with patience and getting too focused on the here and now. Father, help us as we walk out this door that we stay focused on what's ahead and be patient while you continue the work in us. Father, we don't understand all of it. It is somewhat mysterious, but we trust your promises are never broken. We trust that eternity is before us. We trust your plan. And so, Father, give us a lot of patience. And that will come through your Spirit in us. Let's lean into the Spirit and have patience. Father, I want to celebrate Logan and Laura Singhuizen. We just had their wedding yesterday. Father, they have come together. You brought them together now where you celebrate their marriage, and Father, be with them all the days of their life as they grow within this church here. Father, I pray for Michelle and Nicole Haupt, specifically our missionaries in Tanzania. We saw the celebration of yet another New Testament going out in a Muslim people group language. And all the patience it took to get that transcribed. Now your word is out there and your son is going to be known in that language. We pray that as that Bible moves and the people that speak it and share it, that it has great, great fruit. Father, we thank you for the Believe It or Not camp, all the families here and the children and the growth this week of really understanding all the mysteries about Jesus and be able to understand who he is and why he came. And Father, I pray for the district conference this week where our churches here in Kansas come together to look at how do we grow churches and how do we revitalize churches and how do we get our hair on fire for your kingdom. Father, I pray that time goes well and we come together in unity, but also we pray for the two people that will be ordained in this room on next Thursday night who are giving their lives to you as pastors. We pray a special blessing on them. Father, the last blessing I ask is on the people here, that we all have some patience, and when we don't, that you rattle our bell a little bit and remind us of the not yet. Thank you for your son, and thank you now for your Holy Spirit in each of us. Let us go out of here proclaiming your name left and right with patience while you do work. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, a couple quick announcements for everybody before we break away. These are two important announcements. One is that our kids ministry, I have a note here, right outside these doors, right by this table right here, our kids ministry has actually been last week raising the food to create these food boxes. So you're aware at any time, right hidden inside this cabinet here, are food boxes. At any time somebody comes here with a need, we provide food for them for a week. It's a big box of food to help them get through the week. And so we're down to one box. And so what we'd like to do is fill all those boxes back up. And this is the kids' ministries working with this. So when you walk out these doors, there's a little magnet board there, and there's people things on there. Just take a people thing. It tells you what to bring, and you can bring it back. We want to end that food drive because we don't run out of food. Amen? So we're down to one box. So we want to recover with that. So grab, please don't leave a paper people on that wall before you leave. So we take care of that, and we can, that way your blessing can continue to roll out as church and help people that are in a tough time. Amen? Second thing is outside this room also, right inside our foyer, is the Helping International Student table. And there's actually international students here with us too that want to share with you the importance. We're expecting several hundred, ultimately there's over 2,000 international students here at Manhattan at Kansas State University. And we partner with the program to put friends with them. So when they come here, we acclimate them to everything that's going on. I mean, can you imagine landing in a new country and starting out with nothing? Nothing on the floor, nothing. And that's how they start here. And just have an American friend, the most thing they want is American friend. But ladies and gentlemen, in the book of Acts, the ends of the earth come right here. It's one of the most productive opportunities that we have. And if you want to be brave, and I want you to be brave, cross that cultural line and reach out to somebody different than you. Stop at that table. Talk with some of them. If you haven't done this, do it. It's just something, as they can come this fall, they'll be ready. And we can also share the gospel with them. And just be their friends. Can you imagine if you would go to another country, what that would do to you? So stop by there, talk with one of them, and let's make sure every international student has a friend this fall. Amen? And we have Tony and Barb Seaball. Would you guys stay and stand up? They are our new direct. They're our church liaison with his program. So always seek them out too if you have any questions. Okay. So please rise with me. Guests, I would ask, please, before you leave, to fill out this Connect card here on the worship guide, and just drop it through these doors at our Welcome Center. We have a gift for you, but we want to connect with you. We want to just see if you have any questions. No full court press, we promise. And just make sure that we can answer any questions you have about Westview and if this could be your next church home. And so I want to finish with reading this scripture. You know, God is not finished with us yet. Amen? So I want us to read this scripture together that kind of pulls everything together, and it's out of Philippians 1:6. So let's read this together. And I am... Now, we want to hit that word. I am certain that God, who began a good work within us, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Go with patience. Take the gospel of Christ around the world. Have a great week.
Face to face with the younger me.